This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, the hour number three of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up 20 minutes from now, we will do an off-season edition of Overreaction, Proper Reaction to get you set for the NFL draft. And in about 40 minutes from now, Arch Manning balls out in the spring game for Texas. Is there any QB controversy? I do have two stories for you, by the way. We will get to them in about 5 minutes. We have some clarity on the Topgolf visit last week, where reportedly Jaden Daniels was not thrilled, or Jaden Daniels' team was not thrilled, with J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix Jr. and Drake May, the other quarterbacks all being present on the Commanders visit for those guys. And also, Peyton Manning has a glowing review of J.J. McCarthy. Does that mean that Sean Payton is going to trade up in the draft to try to land J.J. McCarthy? But before we get to all those stories, let's talk about just the terrible performances by Stu's Lakers and the Philadelphia 76ers last night. And both of those teams share something in common. They blew leads last night, and then after the game, they basically blamed the officials. So I thought Nick Nurse was laughable after the game last night. The way he tried to portray the events got Sixers fans all riled up. When you slow down and watch the replay, on the inbounds pass, before that pass is made, he didn't call a timeout. You could send me the screenshot where it looks like he's calling the timeout, but he puts his hands up over his head as if he's about to call a timeout, and then right as the ball is about to be passed in, he drops his hands and is like, nope, I don't want a timeout at all. Thank God I didn't call it. Where if he actually wanted a timeout before that ball is passed in, he would have been jumping up and down, going berserk to get the attention of the officials. But let's replay this sound. Here's Nick Nurse after the game last night, and I thought this was lame. He called out the refs for the end of his team's loss up against the New York Knicks.
The first thing is, obviously, they score. We take a look at getting it in quick. We don't get it in quick. I call timeout. The referee looked right at me, ignored me, went into Tyrese. I called timeout again. Then the melee started. And, I guess I got to run out onto the floor or do something to make sure and get his attention. But I needed a timeout there to advance it. Would have been good, but couldn't get it.
The only time the timeout is an actual question is about a half second that you have that decision to make once the ball is in and it looks like Maxey has it. That could be in question. But still, it's such a bang-bang decision and it's such a bang-bang occurrence where that ball is rolling around the officials may not think you have possession when they finally hear you call timeout. But the initial part, where him trying to claim that he was calling a timeout before the inbounds pass, that's just untrue. He was thinking about it. He never actually called it. Because if he was serious about calling it, and if he actually wanted it instead of being indecisive, he would have been emphatic when it wasn't granted right away. Because there was a good amount of time that was going on, at least 5 seconds, right, before that pass was actually passed inbounds. So what Nick Nurse did last night, and I'm not saying the officiating was great. Like, there's no doubt about it. Maxey gets mugged at the end of the game, but before that, Maxey mugged Josh Hart. So it was no call, no call. But your team didn't lose the game because of the officials. You could have, you know, after the game, I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to blast the officials. He'll pay the fine, and then maybe he gets a better whistle in game three. But you lost that game because your team didn't box out. The Knicks, who are a team based off hustle and grit, out-hustled you because when that ball's getting thrown around on the court and it's rolling around, the Knicks get it. They get it to Dante DiVincenzo, and he missed the three. You send Sixers fans love to send screenshots today. Take a screenshot when that ball is first released out of the hands of Dante DiVincenzo. How the Sixers didn't get that rebound is laughable. How Joel Embiid, I know he is huffing and puffing, and Joel Embiid is winded, and he is clearly, 65% maybe, at most. You have to, in that moment, get that rebound. And Hardenstein made the hustle play, and they got the ball back out to DiVincenzo, and they hit the three, and you see a five-point lead choked in 30 seconds. So that's the Sixers and the Knicks kind of part of that series. The Knicks have not even played great, and they're still up 2-0. But let's hear from Joel Embiid. He made it clear last night after the game. He is not worried about the Sixers being down 0-2. Now, this sounds a whole lot better than the way that it was actually being delivered from Joel Embiid. He sounds confident, but if you watch this video, he looks like he's down in the dumps. He is looking down at the ground, and he looks like he's on the verge of tears. I thought eye contact would have been a little bit better here, but here was the audio clip.
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But we're the better team, and we're going to keep fighting.
See, here's the thing. I know the Sixers, and Embiid gets hurt, and then they went from being a 3 seed now all the way down to a 7 seed. A reason why you're not the better team this time of the year is because, big fella, you're either not in shape or you're injured. And that was clear, like, and Embiid in the fourth quarter, you knew he had no gas left in the tank. So for him to say they're the better team, yeah, if everyone's fully healthy, the Sixers probably are a better team. But with how these teams are constructed right now and who's available and who isn't, the Knicks are the better team. And if we're going to play the injury game too, well, the Knicks don't have Julius Randle right now. And the Knicks did not play a good game last night. And guys like Jalen Brunson, who has not played well in this series, Hardenstein, Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo, they made the plays when they needed to. I can't even imagine. Like, that's an all-time bad beat. 5 points with 30 seconds to go, the Sixers are up. And you go back to now Philadelphia down 0-2. I don't want to hear about the officials when you blow that game. When you snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. I don't want to hear this nonsense about the officials. Officiating isn't perfect. When you blow a game like that, players and coaches have to look themselves in the mirror because that's the reason why they lost the game. And the lack of hustle and the lack of rebounding is the reason why the Sixers lost that game. Now to Stu's Lakers. Stu, let me ask you this. I know you had no confidence in this team going into this series. And I know last night, when we were texting with 8 minutes ago, you said this team is absolute losing. But for the Lakers to build a 20-point lead in the third quarter, and then after the game, LeBron James calls out the review system from something that happened in the third quarter that had nothing to do at the end of the game where LeBron was playing great, hit those two big threes. He missed a wide-open three. Murray goes down the other end, and he hits that shot right in Anthony Davis's face. For the game to end that way, And for LeBron to whine about the replay system from the third quarter, I want to get Stu's thoughts on that. But first, let's hear from LeBron James.
I don't understand what's going on in the replay center, to be honest. D'Lo clearly gets hit in the face on a drive. What the f*** do we have a replay center if it's going to go? It doesn't make sense to me. It makes no sense to me. It bothers me. Sorry I didn't answer your question, but that is like... And then I just saw what happened with the Sixers-Knicks game, too. What are we doing?
The lack of accountability really annoys me. And I know LeBron did a lot to try to will his team to victory last night, but this is now 2 years in a row where they're going to lose a series to the Denver Nuggets. And last year was after game four. Who knows how much longer I'm going to play. I got to make that decision. We all knew LeBron was coming back. And now after game two, you're going, and hey, I don't get how that was overturned. But to make an issue out of that after the game, after your team blew a 20-point lead and Jamal Murray cooked Anthony Davis at the end of the game, I thought it came off rather weak from LeBron James last night. That, me, is not being a Lakers fan, though. I'm curious your Laker fan take on it.
I 100% agree with you. I thought it was weak. When I saw the quote after the game, I was like, did I miss something? I miss something in the fourth quarter, like with 3 minutes to go? Like, was there a call that I like zoned out on and just admit? No, it was from the third quarter. And I just couldn't believe that because that didn't change the game. You had a 20-point lead. You blew a 20-point lead. It's not because of one call. Like, it's absurd. It's a loser mentality. It's like you say, you can never just say, okay, the Nuggets are the better team. That's all you have to do. And they know they're the better team, but he doesn't want to say that.
And you know what the crazy part is about this entire thing? Like, we're so fortunate to be able to watch LeBron James. And it's crazy how he's still able to play at this level for how many years. And I know he's had some injuries towards the end here with the Lakers. But the last 2 years, I'm almost like done with LeBron from what he said last year at the end of the Nuggets series and then what he said last night after game two. And the one thing I wish LeBron would do differently, I think because now we're in this era of social media and there's a camera in his face 24/7, he tries to be like a politician. LeBron tries to be buddy-buddy with everyone, I guess besides the people that operate the replays. But I almost just wish he would have embraced rivalries a little bit more. And I think that goes back to, there was a time where LeBron went from beloved to being the villain with how he went about the decision. But then he goes back to Cleveland, wins a championship, then goes to the Lakers, wins a championship. I'm not saying he needs to be the villain, but you could have like a little rivalry with some of these other players now in the NBA where it would be better. Now he knows he can't win this one up against Denver. If they just like embrace that, you know, at least Anthony Davis basically said, you know, right for the season, sorry, yeah, we can't wait to face Denver again, and we'll shut them up. They did a lot of talking now. It's kind of lame when you got swept last year, and LeBron took away from their moment. But that's the one thing with LeBron, or the two things, is I wish there was more rivalries with him, and I wish he would kind of feed into maybe having like a little hatred for some people. You know, outside of like Lance Stephenson, right? Remember when he was like blowing the ear of LeBron James? I think it was the Pacers. And like, what are we doing here? And not only that, it fits into the narrative a lot of people do, that LeBron just bitches for calls and he whines after games when it doesn't go his way. Because that's what you heard last night. Let me hear from Anthony Davis on the 0-2 hole the Lakers have dug themselves into up against Denver once again.
We have stretches where we just don't know what we're doing on both ends of the floor. And those are the ones that cost us.
That's a shot at Darvin Ham, right? Now, I'm not saying Darvin Ham should be the coach of the Lakers, Stu. But that is, I know it's coming from Anthony Davis, but this is once again, the LeBron James playbook. Tried to get Spoelstra fired, got Blatt fired. You know, Vogel no longer there. Whenever something doesn't go LeBron's way, the coach ends up paying the price. And I've always said this with LeBron teams. LeBron is the team. LeBron is the coach. I hold LeBron more accountable than the actual coach. Doesn't mean Darvin Ham's any good. But I'm not looking at that game last night saying, oh, I need to blame Darvin Ham. Because AD and LeBron, you have the power to change things in that organization. AD, I don't care what you want to say about the coach, what you think about the coach. You were the player, Anthony Davis, that in the final 9 minutes and 55 seconds of that game, you had no points. And then after bitching about how much you deserve to be defensive player of the year, Jamal Murray hits the game-winning shot in your face. Now, this is a guy that's considered to be a top 75 player of all time on that NBA list, which was very controversial. And we all know Anthony Davis is a heck of a player. But to literally be a non-factor and to be a detriment to your team, and it almost would have been better if he was on the bench than what he did on the court in the final 9 minutes, 55 seconds, the only words out of your mouth should have been, I played like crap. That's all that should have happened. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. So I was reading Ralph Facchiano during the break on Emojigate with Jaden Daniels, agent. This is the latest from Ralph Facchiano. One team source dismissed the controversy as just noise and insisted they have no indication at all that Daniels would be unhappy if he's taken by Washington. In fact, according to multiple sources, Commanders General Manager Adam Peters and Daniels' agent Ron Butler talked on the phone late last week and settled any lingering issues. Another team source insisted the whole flap was way overblown and selecting Daniels number two is still very much in play. In fact, many sources around the NFL are convinced that Daniels will inevitably be the Commanders' choice. So there's so many people representing Jaden Daniels. Like, for example, we know one of the publicists, Denise White, who's awesome. She had to release a statement trying to clarify this. Like, I think, you know, Jaden's in good hands with her from the marketing side. But I don't understand what Ron Butler, who's his agent, was doing here. He's going to be the second pick of the draft. So when you put that emoji out there, when it makes it appear that he wasn't happy with what the Commanders did, the only way you do that is if Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to the Commanders. Now, I have no proof that Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to the Commanders. But it made no sense for him to do that, and all it did was create a lot of headaches. And still, the Washington Commanders shouldn't be bullied by some emoji here and some tweet. You conduct your visits the way you want to conduct your visits. So this whole thing, I think it's been overblown since last week. Daniel's going to be the second pick. Now, here is something that I just read during the break, too. Peyton Manning, who I think identified now as more of a Denver Bronco than an Indianapolis Colt, which is crazy. But Peyton Manning went on 104.3 Denver Sports, and he said, I know Denver is very interested in him, and it sounded like a place he'd love to come to, but it's a little bit out of his control. Who was he talking about? J.J. McCarthy. Now, Peyton Manning also did go on to say, I texted him the day after the national championship. I never met him, but we invited him to our football camp, and Jim Harbaugh wouldn't let him miss a workout, so he didn't get to go. So I just reached out and said, hey, man, congratulations. Wish you the best of luck in your next chapter. Manning said, I guess he thought it was a prank. He never called me back, so I texted him Monday from the same number, and he's like, oh, it really is you. That's a great story. Yeah, I thought that somebody was pranking me, and so I just kind of wished him luck, and he asked me some questions, so he called me back and was impressive to talk to. Denver, I know they just traded for Zach Wilson. Here is my hot take. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to prevent them from moving up in the draft, but Denver's sitting at 12. Now, last year, Will Levis was rising up draft boards. He went out of the first round, fell out of the first round, ended up going in the second round. Do I think J.J. McCarthy, that this is just all smoke? No, I think J.J. McCarthy, farthest he will be to 6 to the Giants. Is Denver going to want to move mountains after all the capital they just gave up for Russell Wilson? After the capital that they gave up for Sean Payton to go get J.J. McCarthy? Personally, I wouldn't do it. I don't think Denver is in a position to win anytime soon. And if McCarthy goes there, even with the brilliant offensive mind of Sean Payton, I think that's going to be a bad landing spot for J.J. McCarthy, where he's not going to be able to succeed in the first year or two. So I do find it, though, rather interesting where you don't think Peyton Manning would be giving the answers to the test, but he's kind of putting the pressure on the Broncos saying, yeah, he's interested in going there, and you like him.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
And you know what that endorsement of number 18 does mean?
Doesn't really matter if the quarterback has an interest in going there or not.
No.
Or the player in general. Unless he's going to pull an Eli and pull a power play, say, I'm not playing here.
Which only Eli's been able to do. I know Elway, right? But in recent history, it's really only been Eli because he had the backing of the last name Manning. I think it's the new era athlete and, right, player empowerment. But ultimately, like, the NBA is a player empowerment league right now. Like, the NBA players run the league. The NFL is still run by the NFL owners. So, someone like a Caleb Williams or a Jaden Daniels or a J.J. McCarthy or a Drake, who, it really doesn't matter where they want to go unless they're willing to go back to college and skip the draft, right? Like, if Caleb Williams, I know the whole Chicago thing's been dismissed. But let's say if he didn't really want to go to Chicago, he could return back to college. But he didn't. So in the NFL, I'm like the Bears, I'm not saying this is an issue now. I'm taking Caleb Williams no matter what. And I don't care what he says in the interview or what he does, even if he tells me he doesn't want to go there. You don't want to come here, then go back to college. So to answer your question, no, I don't think it really makes a difference. But it's not the best start if Jaden Daniels did come out publicly and said, I don't want to be drafted by the Commanders. For an organization that's trying to get away from all the drama and all the craziness, that would not be a good start to that relationship. Coming on back, a little overreaction, proper reaction. This is Zach Gelb showing the Infinity Sports Network.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Help! Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying?
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, NFL draft style. Santa's got some questions for me. Michael, take it away.
Well, in the non-shocker of the day, the Bears are going to draft Caleb Williams first overall. Yeah, that's the thought. They might also go with a cornerback or possibly a defensive tackle.
They take it, Quinyon Mitchell?
Yeah, they might go safety there. But if not, they're going Caleb Williams for sure. But they also have the 9th pick in the draft. Most believe they will go after either offensive line or wide receiver. But today, Caleb Williams tweeted, quote, "Oh, bleep." He didn't use the bleep. "Just saw Roma Dunze on my flight to Detroit. Big fan!" Exclamation point.
You know who's a bigger fan of Roma Dunze?
You and I?
I like Roma Dunze.
When we met him at the Super Bowl, he was much bigger than I thought he would be.
Yes, but there is one particular person here, David Mayernick, who's one of our bosses, who after our interview with Roma Dunze at the Super Bowl, waited for the interview to end, and once we said goodbye to Rome, walked over to him, and David Mayernick, shaking his hand, extensive conversation how impressed he was by Roma Dunze on the field this past year and then his performance on our radio extravaganza.
Well, I mean, he was
fantastic. So if Mayernick
was
running the Bears, I'm just saying, he'd be the number one overall pick.
I mean, maybe Dunze should skip the NFL, come right to Infinity Sports Network.
I would gladly take him as a co-host.
All right,
I would say it would probably be better in his pocket and better in his career to go play in the NFL first, and then hopefully we're still here. And,
I mean,
he joins us 10 years from now.
We'll go right from Rome to Rome. It'll be Jim Rome into Roma Doomsday and Zach. That'll work out really well for ISN.
Now, Rome retires 20 years from now, and we have Rome Adunze replacing Jim Rome.
You know what? Jim Rome will still be on the air when Rome Adunze retires from the NFL. Let's be honest. Overreaction,
maybe Rome Adunze is a clone.
Maybe.
He That's
must be.
Possible.
Overreaction, proper reaction. The Bears should go wide receiver at number 9.
Proper reaction, as long as one of the big three are still there. At 9, I do not think Marvin Harrison Jr., hot take, will be there. I do not think Malik Nabers will still be there. I like Rome Adunze a lot. I've said he's the second best wide receiver in this draft class, and I've had a pretty good track record at this stuff. I look at a team like Atlanta right in front of him, and that's where I've been mocking Rome Adunze to go. But if I'm wrong on that, Atlanta says, no, we need more defense, then, yeah, he's there at 9. I know the Bears have DJ Moore. I know they just traded for Keenan Allen. I would gobble him up and grab a wide receiver at 9.
And if those three are gone, you don't feel like a Brian Thomas should be? I mean, if they really want the receiver, I know they have DJ Moore. They have Keenan Allen, who's always hurt. He's great when he's healthy, but he's always hurt.
So I don't think you have to then, because if that's the case, then you're probably getting the first defensive player off the board. And instead of getting the fourth wide receiver compared to the first defensive player, I think there is a bit of a drop-off from that. But Brian Thomas Jr. is going to join us tomorrow, and I am very excited to talk to him because I think that dude is going to Buffalo. I think the Bills are going to trade up, and I think he is going to be a big player.
Don't you know the Bills don't need a number one wideout?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Boldly. That was from their GM.
Yeah, no, I know what you're referencing.
I just want to make They're sure also that the listeners same team understand. You know,
that
you
refuses
remember.
To say Super Bowl or bust, and then they hang a picture of the Lombardi Trophy in their facility. Yeah.
Well, my former team and my former number two overall pick quarterback, Zach Wilson,
did
was
you have
traded.
A Zach Wilson jersey?
No. I do have a Mark Sanchez jersey, though.
I forget who the account was. I think it was a Boy Green or something on Twitter. Nice guy. He had a Brett Favre jersey. He had a Geno Smith jersey. He had a Mark Sanchez jersey. He had a Sam Darnold jersey.
What about Chad Pennington?
No, not in the video. And then he had a Zach Wilson jersey. And they were, what's the military music?
Taps?
Yes, thank you. I couldn't reference it off the top of my head. Playing that in the background, and he's taking all the jerseys out of his closet. It was a very funny video.
Very sad. Now, the Broncos, they added Zach Wilson to the QB room, joining Jared Stidham in Denver. Now, Sean Payton's team is the 12th overall pick. Clearly need a quarterback. So, overreaction, proper reaction. The Broncos are the team with the most pressure to trade up.
So, the Broncos need a quarterback, but they don't have to get a quarterback this year. The Vikings just lost Kirk Cousins, and they have Justin Jefferson without a new contract, and they have Jordan Addison. That's a team that could still be very competitive next year if they get the right quarterback. I think the Vikings, and those teams are possibly moving up, I think that's the team with the most pressure on them. So the Broncos are the team with the most pressure to trade up. I will go over reaction.
Now, I might know your answer to this one since you kind of mentioned it before, but the Bills sit 24th in the draft, and as we know, Brandon Bean is known to be aggressive and moving up to grab guys he wants, Josh Allen included. As we know, Buffalo lost its top two receivers in Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis, so overreaction, proper reaction, the Bills need to move up to draft a receiver.
Proper reaction, I think it's going to be Brian Thomas Jr. Now, if they stay there, that could be in Ladd McConkey range. And you have James Cook already in that backfield. Dalton Kincaid came on really strong at the end of the season. So they could still, in a deep wide receiver draft class, they could still get a really good wide receiver where they're picking. But I would be super aggressive and trade up to go get. I would be willing to give a future first to get into the top 10. And go get, like if Rome Adunze is still there at 8 or 9, or somehow he's there at 10, the Jets probably wouldn't trade with the Bills, but I'm trading up to go get Rome Adunze. But if the big three are off the board and you want to maybe get someone at like 12 or 13, then yeah, Brian Thomas Jr. is the guy that I'd be targeting.
Now, we've talked a lot about the top 10. It's expected to be very offense heavy. However, many mock drafts don't have a single one of the top defensive players like Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, Laite Latu, or Quinyon Mitchell that we just talked about from Toledo in their top 10. So overreaction, proper reaction, the top 10 will not include a defensive player. It feels like there's only one spot that we could see a defensive player go.
First off, I'm going to say that's an overreaction. I think there's three. Atlanta, Chicago. Here is one that people aren't talking about. Tennessee. If everyone thinks Showalt's going there. I think Showalt's going there. Showalt, though, big offensive lineman, Notre Dame. If a team like the Giants is sitting there at six and maybe all the quarterbacks are off the board, the four quarterbacks, maybe they end up taking a tackle, even though I'd rather want the Giants to take a wide receiver there. So potentially Tennessee could go defense, but I do think there will be a defensive player in the top 10 at most two.
Now, those Giants are sitting at six, and many believe they'll go quarterback, even if the top four quarterbacks in Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy go before their pick. So overreaction, proper reaction, the Giants will draft a quarterback at six, even if those four are off the board.
If those four are off the board, that's an overreaction. How I think this is going to play out is Williams will go one, then Daniels will go two. I think the Patriots are taking Drake May at three. Cardinals will take Marvin Harrison Jr. at four. That fifth spot, Chargers. I don't believe they're going to make a trade with either the Raiders or the Broncos. And I know Harbaugh's probably not thrilled with the Vikings after that interview process, but I think the Vikings are so desperate where Minnesota's going to move up to five. They'll take J.J. McCarthy, and at that rate, the Giants at six probably take Malik Nabers. So if those four are off the board, those quarterbacks, Daniels, McCarthy, Williams, and May, I think they pass on the quarterback. But if one of them do fall out of those four, then they'll definitely take the quarterback at six.
All right, now my two-time defending champion Chiefs are obviously last in the first round.
You just say back-to-back champ. I know you're not used to that. Just say the back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
Sorry.
Kansas.
My future three-peat champion Chiefs are last in the first round because, of course, they won the Super Bowl. However, we've never actually fully replaced Tyreek Hill, and our top target, Rashee Rice, is in some, you know, legal issues.
Yes.
So overreaction, proper reaction. I know we picked up Hollywood Brown, but he's more of a number two, even when he's healthy. The Chiefs need to land a true number one wideout if they or we want to repeat, three-peat.
Oh, to three-peat? No. That's an overreaction. Should they draft a wide receiver in the first round, maybe even trade up? Yeah, absolutely. That could be Ladd McConkey range, Xavier Worthy out of Texas. They may have to move up to get him. But I would like to see them take a wide receiver. But the three-peat, no, they don't. You have Patrick Mahomes. That's what matters.
Now, Brock Bowers is viewed as a generational talent at tight end after his historic career at Georgia. However, the last few top 10 tight ends haven't exactly panned out. And Kyle Pitts back in 2021, mm-hmm. T.J. Hockenson, who's been good but great in 2019, and Eric Ebron, who really did not pan out in 2014 out of UNC.
The Lions, right?
Yes. Overreaction, proper reaction. Bowers should not get picked in the top 10.
He should only get picked by the Jets. And the Jets are in the top 10 at number 10. And I don't think one of those three wide receivers will be there. So, yeah, I do think the Jets should go. The Jets should get sexy, right? You're all in with Rodgers the next year or two. Go get him a nice tight end. So you say Bowers should not get picked in the top 10. I will go overreacting because the Jets should take him at 10.
All right, now last one. This is away from the draft, but it was big enough news that we can't avoid it. Former NFL MVP Matt Ryan, who joined us in Vegas for the Ice Bucket Challenge. That was fun to watch
anniversary.
You pour water all over your head. Officially announced his retirement from the NFL. Ryan finished 7th all-time in passing yards, 9th in touchdowns, 19th in QB rating, and 10th in wins. Overreaction, proper reaction. Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer.
See, it's so tough to judge these quarterbacks because it's such a pass-heavy league now that all these stats are inflated. Like, as you said, he was 7th in passing yards. And then passing touchdowns, he was 9th. Like, and he's won an MVP. That right, those stats say you should be a Hall of Famer. But did I ever watch Matt Ryan and say this is one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen? No. I think he's a very good quarterback. And for me, there's a distinction, very good to great, for the Hall of Fame. If I had to make a baseball comp, he's kind of like Jimmy Rollins, where you always know he was very good at his position. Right? One year he could be elite. Now, Jimmy won a World Series championship. Matt Ryan didn't win a Super Bowl. If Matt Ryan wins Super Bowl, he probably gets in. But when I think of Matt Ryan, unfortunately, and he's a very good quarterback. First thing I think of is choking 28-3 in the Super Bowl. So I think he's very, 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 very good.
He's a nice guy. Maybe through time he gets in the Hall of Fame. That's just sometimes how the process works. But when it was announced the other day that he was walking away, did I think Hall of Fame? Like right away, when people say Hall of Fame, yes or no, my first instinct is no. He is not a Hall of Famer. So Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer. I would go that as a overreaction. All right, little overreaction, proper reaction on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll come on back and we'll talk about Arch Manning with his massive spring game performance for Hook'em. I will not go horns down today because I don't want Brian Jones to hit us up on the hotline and then punch me in the face through the phone or have the Texas men's basketball coach start crying about that again. Latest update, here he is, the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Let's go to Sorja in Massachusetts. Next up with the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Zach, how you doing, my man?
Doing great. What do we got cooking?
Yeah, just had a quick question for you. This year's draft is really grinding my gears because, you know, going into January, right, I feel like J.J. McCarthy wasn't even considered in the first round, and now people have him going top 15. So I just wonder if, like, as a scout, is it almost as and a GM, is it almost harder now today to make a pick as opposed to 10, 15 years ago? Because I feel like you got a lot of these draft people who just love to make noise and just put so much garbage out there.
It's a good phone call. Appreciate it. I just think everyone has a platform now. And I think we need to remember social media doesn't reflect what these teams will actually do. And social media doesn't reflect our actual society. I kind of like the usage, though, of garbaggio. I've heard it as garbage. Him saying garbaggio, that was actually a pretty good job there.
I feel like I've heard garbaggio before.
I've heard garbage, not garbaggio.
Yeah.
That sounds like Italian garbage.
I can't tell if I'm like convincing myself that I've heard it before, but I haven't. Or you know what I mean? It's like one of those words that you're like, I think I've heard that, but I don't know if I've heard that.
Garbage.
Definitely garbage.
Garbage.
But I feel like garbage, maybe because I lived in
Boston
for a while.
Sounds like a crappy pizza topping, honestly. Give me some of that garbaggio.
Or a crappy pizza place. It's like, oh, yeah, where'd you get that slice? Oh, garbaggio's down there.
Yeah. Oh. If I'm in Massachusetts, I like to go to that place, Santarpio's. That place is good.
Sounds like garbaggio's.
No. Santarpio's is not garbaggio. That is not garbage. Except the one time I did go there.
Except for that one time.
No. The line was so long. I was coming from Philadelphia. I was in college. And I was meeting my uncle and then my uncle's mother and my uncle's brother and my cousin in Boston for the game. So I had to do a Temple football game. I flew out after the game, landed in Boston at Logan International. And I'm starving coming off the plane. So my uncle goes, let's go to Santarpio's. We'll get a pizza. So we order a large sausage pizza. And, you know, what's the word here that I'm looking for? It was like a makeshift parking lot where, like, is it like a vet, like that you're under a bridge, like a vessel? Would that be the right word? I don't know if that's the right word.
Vestibule?
No. I don't know. So there's like, there's obviously like a road and a bridge above it, and you have people just parking. It's not, though, their parking lot. And I guess we weren't in the best area of the world. So we are basically like tailgating, eating this pizza, like off like the hood of the car. The next thing you know, you hear pop, pop. And then after that, the sirens. Cop comes by. He goes, did you hear where those shots came from, those gunshots? And my uncle's like, not really. Think that way. Now, my uncle's mother, a little bit older, concerned, right? She's like, what did you say? And he goes, oh, the officers wonder where the fireworks came from. We ate the pizza like it was someone that was really quick's 40 time, got in the car, then drove away. But Santarpio's did have really good pizza.
Well, hold on a sec. You stayed?
No, we had to finish the pizza.
I'm hopping in the car and finishing the pizza elsewhere.
That's the difference between you and me. I got to eat the pizza. I got to eat the pizza when it's hot.
I mean, the Zach
Gelb. I don't want no cold pizza. I don't want like that crappy ESPN show back in the day. I don't want no cold pizza.
Your obituary is going to read one day, Zach Gelb died by gunshot while eating pizza and would not flee when everyone else did.
Not going to lie. Not the gunshot part. But if I died eating a slice of pizza, not the end of the world.
If you had to die eating one slice of pizza, whose would it be? Is it Scarpaccio's or Garbaggio's?
No, it's not Santarpio's.
There you go, that one.
Garbaggio's. New Haven Pizza's pretty good.
Well, hold on. Is there a place called New Haven's Pizza or just
no,
pizza?
New Haven Pizza, like you go to New Haven, Connecticut, right. There's a thousand spots.
So here's my question. I hear a lot about New Haven Pizza.
Elite.
Is it like, so Chicago Pizza, Chicago Deep Dish is a style of pizza. Is New Haven Pizza different or is it just New Haven Pizza has good pizza?
I would say the New Haven's, first off, they have great pizza. Secondly, I think their style is, it's a thin crust slice, but the slices are like, they're big slices. They're oven bricked, like well done pizzas.
So it's not like New York pizza where you fold it, it's like a completely different style of pizza, or is it the same, just better?
It's not as...
Because I'm curious.
It's not as girthy as the New York slice.
Oh, girthy.
Yeah,
interesting.
Not as girthy as the New York slice.
Yeah, I only hear girth in one other way. So
you've never been told that, I'm sure.
I'm hearing flashbacks right now.
But I'm saying it's like it's thin crust, but it's not the thin crust that you think because it's not an enormous slice, but it's not like a little slice.
Well, I'm moving to Stamford, Connecticut. I'm about an hour from New Haven, so I cannot wait to try the New Haven pizza.
Yeah. My mother just texted me, Eddie's Pizza in New Hyde Park. I've never been. Thanks for taking me as a kid. Wonderful.
I think I would be going with Joe's. Joe's on Carmine. Love Joe's on Carmine. Love Joe's.
Joe's is okay.
I've tried all the other ones around here that everyone talks about. They're fine. Joe's, there's a special place in my heart for them.
All right, anyway. A lot of people are talking about Arch Manning. Eli Manning made it clear.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
Eli Manning made it clear at the Super Bowl with us that Arch is fine being patient. And he's not going to transfer out of Texas. Arch Manning lit it up. He lit it up in the spring game. 19 to 25, 355 yards and 3 touchdowns. Now there's 2 pieces of analysis here. 1, Texas secondary, no bueno. 2, Arch Manning looking like he's worth the hype. Now it's a spring game. I don't like to get too excited for a spring game. Quinn Ewers, though, the last 2 years has played really well, has gotten hurt. He will be the starter, but I wonder if there's a point in the season where Quinn Ewers has got hurt the last 2 years or he's not playing great. Now, Arch is the number 2. Last year, Malik Murphy, who's now at Duke, he was standing in between the way, and we knew going into the year Malik Murphy was too. If Quinn Ewers isn't back on his A game, I think that hype around Arch Manning, man, it's going to go through the roof. And he was just casually walking out of the spring game, by the way. When the game ended, just casually walking, people taking selfies with him. And it didn't look like a zoo. But what you watched, he threw a 75-yard touchdown pass. Bomb. Bomb. I can't wait to watch Arch Manning. I actually hate to say this. I kind of wish he did transfer. Because selfishly, I want to watch him play this year. When we've heard so much about him, I want to watch him play this year. And by design, he's probably not going to be the starter this year. Unless poor play or an injury. But it's Quinn Ewers deserves to be the starter next year. He deserves it this year. Anyway, that concludes the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Dallas Turner, good to stop by. Brian Thomas Jr. as well. Two guys that are both expected to go in the first 15 to 20 picks of the draft. Big thanks to Dan Mullen for joining us today. Jason Candle as well. Big thanks to everyone for calling, listening, and tweeting. Big thanks to Stu, Samter, and once again, each and every one of you. Talk to you manana, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.